We begin the current daven Seches Mila Daf Yud Tes. Begin 6 lines down at the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues by going back to the previous daf, which we opened up this Perek Hanenim in the Hektish, which qualifies that which constitutes an act of Mila. So Amamar, the Gemara quoted a Tanav Abraisa that went through the Pasuk that discussed the laws of Mila, thus bringing the sources for the halachas of the Mishnayos of this Perek. So the Amamar, the Tana opened up by saying Nefesh. It says in the Pasuk that if an individual is going to commit the act of Me'ilah, it says he's going to be liable for that. So it says the word Nefesh, which connotes Echad Hayachad, whether an individual, a regular commoner, Vechad Anasi, or the king, Vechad HaMashuach, B'mashma, or the Kohen Gadol, they're all included in that individual context of a Nefesh. So the word says, what? Shayachal Mai, that what could have been what? In other words, what would you have entertained to say that you would have thought to say that we would exclude the Nasi or the Kohen Gadol from the laws of Me'ilah? Pshita, obviously they're all liable. Nefesh Ksiv, it says a soul, which a soul connotes a regular individual, a king, a Kohen Gadol, they're all a Nefesh. Why would we think otherwise that we had to say that that's included in the word Nefesh? So says the Gemara, because Ma'adutim, what would you say? Amr Rahman, the Torah says regarding the laws of Shemen HaMishcha, regarding the anointing oil. The Pasuk says, "V'asher yitim imenu alzar." For if this Shemen HaMishcha, the anointing oil, is going to be placed on a foreigner, so the Pasuk says, "V'nichras mi'amav." There's a liability of karis. This is something that's utilized, something of hektish, which is inappropriate. Now, v'hai the Meshuach specifically, the Kohen Gadol lav zarhu. He's not a foreigner in regards to the Shemen HaMishcha. Though imshach begavei, to the contrary, he's actually anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. So I would have thought to say that he's not included in the laws of Me'ilah, because we find in one of the contexts of Hekdesh, specifically regarding the Shemen HaMishcha, it is actually not prohibited to partake of it. Kamash Ablam, that's what we need the Brice to say. Ultimately, the word Nefesh comes to include even the Meshuach, even the Kohen Gadol is included in the Isser, in the liability of Me'ilah. Additionally, we said there in the Brice, that the Akshar Achman, the Torah equated the laws of Me'ilah, Lasaita, to the suspected adulterous woman, who by all these contexts it says the terminology of Me'ila, Ulavitz Kachav, regarding adultery, Ula Truma, and also regarding Truma, we have this hekesh of Chet, comparing it to Truma. So, says the Gemara, for what purposes do we find that, for example, the first one, Lasaita, that we're comparing to the laws of the suspected adulterous woman? So, that is because, just like we find by the Saita, Davagav, Delay Pagam, even if the Saita regards to the context of Me'ilah. And that Me'ilah that she misappropriated in regards to her relationship with her husband, it wasn't an act of pigima, of deficiency, because a Saita is already called Paguma Vaimedish, she's already Pagum beforehand. In other words, to say, because the halacha of Saita only applies if she already had relations once before, which the Pasuk says, Mebalit De'ishach, you had relations with a man besides her husband. Shigmar Saita says that because she has to have relations with her husband before the man that she suspected having had relations with. So she's already pogum, she's already deficient in that way. And even so, the Pasuk says, Amola Boimal. So Hagabi Hektish Nami. So in the context of here regarding the laws of Me'ilah, in the laws of Hektish, we also say that the same halacha, the nasna tabas biyado, if let's say he puts a ring on her finger, which is, even though it's not making that deficient, still mala, that for things that don't have pigima, like a ring, just having that benefit, it already can be me'ila, like we find by the laws of Saita, which, even though it's not creating a pagam right now. So too, kiyak shirachman lavitz kechav, when we compare it to avay dezara, is to tell you, da'ad ispa shiner. Until there's an act of deviation, of a change, where a person changed himself from the divine presence to avodah zarah. So, gabe hektish nami, that's teaching us also regarding the laws of hektish of the sanctified items, ad debika bekardim, until he cuts with the hatchet the trees of chulin that are unconsecrated, where he's deviating from aleches kodesh, where he's supposed to use it only for sanctified things. He's using it for mundane things, that is not going to be me'ila until he goes and chops a v'yifkam upogum, and that is going to create a deficiency. Where according to some mefarshim, it's saying the other halacha that we had in the previous mishnah regarding the things that do have a pegima, then it's only going to be when you have a pegima when it creates a deficiency, or it's saying the idea of that, but it has to have a change. Where just like by the laws of avodah zarah, you're changing to something that's inappropriate. Here also, it's changing from hektish and using the hatchet to cut a tree of chulin. Additionally, akshar achman l'truma, the Torah equates the laws of me'ilah to the laws of truma, like we said, chet, akzer shav from truma, is to tell you the following idea. Ma truma, just like the laws of truma. The pasuk says, b'yikur ki yoichel, regarding the misappropriation, the inappropriate consumption of truma. It says it in the context of eating it. Pra-lamazik, that excludes something that's damaging. If, let's say, he just takes the food items or the beverages of a truma and he just spills it out, and he doesn't have benefit from it, he's not liable for the liabilities that one has if he partakes of truma, if, let's say, he's tamei or if he's a zar. So, kabe hekdesh nami, so therefore that compares also for him for the laws of me'ila. We're going to laws of hekdesh. Kol dvar achila, ki mazik le, any food item, if he damages it and he just spills it out and he doesn't have benefit from it, sapata, he's going to be exempt from the laws of me'ila. Now, the Mefarish brings from his teacher that the truth is it even applies, this exemption, even by non-food items. When he's damaging it, he's going to be exempt because the liability of Me'ila is only when he has pleasure and benefit from it. It's just that because in the context of Truma, it says Ki'echel, because by Truma it actually only applies for liability of consumption. So Behekdesh also says Kol Dvar Achila, but in truth, it would be for anything of Me'ila. It's not by just damaging it. It has to be that the person actually had benefit from it, then he's liable for Me'ila. Now the Mishnah said, Ketzad, how is this, like we said, that we do differentiate regarding things that don't have, that are not the norm for them to become pogum, to become deficient, then the liability is right away when one has benefit. Whereas by things that generally become deficient, then the liability is only when there is a deficiency. So the Mishnah said, Ketzad, what's the case of Davishen Darchli pogum? It's Nasta Katla Bechuluf, let's say he puts a necklace on her neck, where it doesn't usually get ruined, that golden chain, that golden necklace. So there, the liability is right away when there is a hana of a shava pruta. Now, however, on this, Amalei Rav Kahana, Rav Zirdi asked, "What for the havalar bar if gumehu? What gold is not something that generally becomes efficient?" Our Mishnah said, "Oh, therefore, once you have benefit, you're already going to commit meila." And it doesn't say, "Oh, achi yifkum," until you create a deficiency. Obviously, because it's not something that generally becomes deficient. But if that's the case, that it doesn't become deficient, but then what's with the gold of the daughter-in-law of Nun? When Nun was a wealthy individual and he gave a lot of gold and jewelry to his daughter-in-law when they got married, and when they gave it to her, he waited. After a later point in time, they waited again, and they found that the weight of the gold was lacking. So the Hechazel, where did that gold go? Obviously, gold is deficient, and therefore there should be Me'ila only when it's pogum, not just by having Ana. So Amalei, Rav Zvid said to him, no. He can't prove anything from what you just told me. Because Dilma Dahavid Diraman Kalasehu, maybe it's like the gold that you gave to your daughter-in-laws. Meaning to say that just like maybe what it's referring to is that his daughter-in-law of Nun maybe didn't safeguard her gold. Rather, she just threw it wherever she found a place to put it, like your daughter-in-laws do, where they're not careful with their jewelry appropriately, and therefore it becomes deficient. But regular gold that's safeguarded appropriately does not become deficient, and that's why the halacha, the Mishnah says, that's not dovish, adach lipogim, and if it's right away when there's hanah, that is me'ila. Vayid, moreover, says Rav Zirid, that even if you want to say that gold is something that ultimately does become deficient, as you brought from the incident of the daughter-in-law of Nun, even so, it's still the halacha, the Mishnah is true, that once there's hanah, immediately there's going to be me'ila. Because although, like we're saying in the Mishnah, that you don't have the pleasure and the deficiency right away, because it doesn't become deficient right away when you have pleasure from it immediately, but what you think, that there's never going to be deficiency? In other words, did I say that there's never going to be deficiency? No, the halacha of the Mishnah was providing that you don't have deficiency right away. But yeah, at a later point in time, it does become deficient. But since immediately it does not become deficient, that's why our Mishnah says it's not considered a davish adachli pogum, because generally, in the immediate moment, it doesn't become deficient. So therefore, once there's a pleasure, right away there's mila. But yeah, over a long period of time, gold could become deficient, and therefore that's what happened with the daughter-in-law of Nun. Now the Mishnah then concluded and said, Hanena min achatas v'chulu. Someone has pleasure from a karmachatas, so it depends. If it's alive, so the Mishnah said, when kishe yifkim, when it's going to be deficient. When it's dead, then immediately when there's hanah, then there's going to be me'ila. Now the Gemara asked Mechti, let's see, how do we understand the case of that when it's alive, the me'ila is only when it's pagum? Ibe behema tamima, if the Mishnah is talking about an unblemished animal, a regular karmachatas, hainu kishel zav, so then that should be just like the case of the Mishnah of a cup made out of gold. In other words, just like a cup of gold, we said, does not stand to be deficient, and therefore we said we don't go based on it by deficiency. Rather, once you have benefit, the worth of a pruta, rather we just commit an act of me'ila. So then so too, an unblemished karmachatas, which its designation is to be sacrificed, that's not something that's redeemed. An unblemished karmic cannot be redeemed. So therefore, once you have pleasure from it, there should immediately be an act of me'ila. Why does the Mishnah say, until there's pegima, what type of pegima is there going to be in a carbon that's ready to be makrib? Because even if, let's say, one rides in it till it weakens it, that's not considered, quote, a deficiency, because that's not a deficiency regarding the mizbeach. Because an animal, whether it's fatty or whether it's lean, doesn't make a difference. They're still both appropriate for atonement, and therefore does not have any element of pegima regarding it. So why are we saying that it's going to be only when it's pogum, when there's no element of pogum regarding an unblemished animal? So Amar Papa, he says, you're right, the halacha of a Mishnah is tumah karmachatas mebalas mumaskin. We're talking about that it's already blemished. And therefore, a blemished carbon, it does stand to be redeemed. And that's why the Mishnah is saying, but once it becomes deficient, meaning that he weakens it, and therefore loses from its value, so that's something that is a deficiency, because you're selling it, and it has a certain value, which you're decreasing from the value of hektish. So that's why the Mishnah said, there's not going to be me'ilah until he's pogum in it, the worth of a pruta. Whereas the end of the Mishnah, which said that when the animal is dead, then right away once you have a benefit of a Sheva Prut, there's going to be an act of Me'ilah, that halacha would be whether it's unblemished or whether it's blemished, because once the animal dies, so it cannot be redeemed, because as the Gemara says in Pesachim, Nef Chavtesim, and if you don't redeem Kodshim, for what purpose? It's dead already, you don't could eat it. It would be just defeated to the dogs, that we don't redeem it, and therefore, it doesn't say anything about Pegima, because what's the Pegima again? You're back to the question. There's nothing to redeem. It's just like a live, unblemished animal, where it doesn't stand to have a monetary value. Here also doesn't stand to have a monetary value, so therefore there's no more pegim over here. And therefore, actually, the me'ila is going to be when it's dead, immediately once there is a hana of a Sheva Pruta. Now, we continue to Amud Beis, where the Mishnah continues with the theme of the opening Mishnah, regarding the criterion of what constitutes an act of me'ila. So it says in the Mishnah, Nen the kibachatzi pruta. If someone has benefit from an item of hektish, a half of a pruta. For example, let's say he wore a garment of hektish, and the benefit that he had was that of a half a pruta. Upogum kechatzi pruta. And then he also created deficiency in it, a half a pruta, where he tore and he created deficiency, a measurement of half a pruta. Or another case, shenena b'shav a pruta b'davar echad. He had benefit from the item of hektish, the worth of a pruta, in one thing, that has a deficiency, but he didn't do the deficiency, he just had the pleasure. And then he created deficiency in the worth of a pruta in something else. For example, let's say he spilled out a liquid of hektish, but he didn't have benefit from it. Says the Mishnah, in both of these cases, loimol. There's not going to be an act of me'ila. Ad until, as the Mishnah qualifies, sheyahana b'shav pruta, that he should have the pleasure of the worth of a pruta. V'yipogam b'shav pruta, and that he should create a deficiency of b'shav pruta. Both of those have to be a shav pruta, b'davar echad, in one thing. Which, as the Mefarish points out, we're told Manabi is something that has the ability to have Pegima, to have a deficiency. And the Tana holds that it has to be like Chuma, which is then you have the Pegima and the Hanah at the same time, which is when someone who's not supposed to, like a non-Kohen, eats the Chuma, he's creating the deficiency, which is it's getting ruined, and his benefit is happening at the same time, and that has to be the Shavu Prut in both the Pegima and the Hanah in the same thing. Now, another halacha says the Mishnah, Ein Moyel Achar Moyel B'Mokdashim. There's no ability to commit me'ilah, a misappropriation in the hektish item, and then again have a misappropriation in the same hektish item. Ella Behema V'Klisharas Bavad. The two exceptions are an animal and a service vessel. As the Mishnah explains, Ketzad, how so? Let's say Rachav Agav Behema. He rides on an animal. Obochaveir Barachav, and then his friend comes and rides an animal. Obochaveir Barachav, and then another friend comes and rides an animal. Says the Mishnah, Kul and Malu. They have all committed the act of me'ilah. Now, the reason for this is because this animal does not stand to have a monetary value. And therefore, it's not something that has the laws of deficiency. Meaning to say that even if he rides on the animal and he weakens it, or as we'll see a later case where he tears out the wool of the animal, since we're talking about an animal, it's still fit to be brought as a carbon. It does not invalidate it from being sacrificed on the Mizbeach, because whether it's fatty or that it got weakened because they rode on it, it's still fit to be brought as a carbon. So therefore, it doesn't qualify with the halacha of a deficiency, as we said on Amun Aleph, so therefore, it still retains its sanctity. It still retains its sanctity, so every time someone uses it and has benefit from it, he's committing an act of Mila, which is Moyel Achar Moyel. Similarly, Shasa B'Kesh Shalzam, someone drinks from a cup of gold of hektish. So even if he makes it deficient when he uses it, and his friend comes and drinks from it, kulamalu, they have all committed an act of me'ilah, because since this service vessel has a physical sanctity, it doesn't have a monetary sanctity, it's not just something that a cup owned by hektish, it's that which is used in the Beis HaMikdash, which does not stand to be redeemed, so it still retains its shiras, its service vessel status, so every time someone uses it, he's committing an act of me'ilah. And because, like we said, it's still going to be the service vessel used in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not something that has a monetary value to say, oh, deficient, that was the committing the act of Me'ila, thus removing it to Chayil. No, it retains its Hekdash depth. And similarly, the third case, Talash Min HaChatas, someone tears out the wool of a carbon Chatas, of the hair of a Chatas, of Vochaber B'Talash, and then his friend comes and tears it out, of Vochaber B'Talash, and his third friend comes and tears it out. Kulam Alu, again, the same idea, they have all committed the act of Me'ila. Now, Rabbi Eimer, he says the following rule. Kaldovar she'ein loy, the girsa we have is pidyon, which the girsa of Rashi is pegam, which is the same idea. Anything that doesn't have a deficiency, meaning it does not become invalidated by deficiency, which is essentially the same case that we just said before, that therefore they don't have redemption, doesn't go with monetary value, like the animal and the service vessel that we said in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, it's a yesh by moy lacha moy, those things will have the liability to be liable, me'ila after me'ila, me'ila. I think Moshe explains, so what's the difference between Rabbi and the Rabban? That seems to be the same exact thing the Rabban just said. Now, first the Gemara says, Mani Masnitin, who's the Tana of our Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Reb Nechemihi, because the Tana learned the Braisa, that the Tana Kama says, Ein Moila Chamail, you don't have Me'ila on the same thing again a second time. Ela Bebehema Bovat, the one exception is an animal, a carpet. Now, Reb Nechemihi, he says, like we said in our Mishnah, Behema Vikli Sharis, he says the two exceptions are an animal and a service vessel. So that's like the halacha of Mishnah. So this is my time at the Tanya Kama. What's the reason Tanya Kama that specifically the exception of Me'ila HaMe'ila is by Behema? Because Ksavah Binyan de Behema Ksiv. He understands that the context of the pasuk of Me'ila was speaking about specifically regarding an animal, a carbon, and not by anything else. Because the Ksiv, the pasuk says in Me'ikra, says, V'akayin yechap alav, the kain will atone for him, Be'el ha'ashim, with the ram of the carbon ashim. Now this word, Be'el ha'ashim, is superfluous, because the pasuk already mentioned that we're talking about a ram of an ashim. So the Pasuk should have just said, V'chipa lava kain, the kain will atone for him, and that's it. Why does it say Be'el Hashem? To tell you, to the contrary, actually, it's saying that the kain will atone for him. What will he atone for him? What this person has committed Me'ila in the E'el Hashem, meaning that he had benefit from a carbon, and like an E'el Hashem. Now, additionally, that sounds like that even though he has committed Me'ila 100 times in this E'el Hashem, in this carbon, we're still calling it that he atoned for him what he had, and still being called an Hashem. Which means to say, if it's still called the Ashim, it's still Hekdash. So if someone goes and has benefit from it again, that person is going to commit Me'ila in it. So from the fact that the Torah writes this halacha by an animal for this law of Me'ila, not by anything else, obviously that the law of Me'ila Acha Me'ila, which is what this pasuk is telling us, that we're considered still Hekdash to have atonement again and again and again, is only by an animal, and therefore it doesn't apply by anything else. Now, but Reb Nechemya, who he adds on, like we have in the Halacha of Mishnah, additionally, Me'ilach Me'ilah by Kli Sharis, Amalachi would tell you it's Kavo Chaimer, since service vessels are so severe, that Im Acher, maybe look at Dushasan, a service vessel makes other things become sanctified. And hence, once they're sanctified, they have the law of Me'ilah, because that's what the Gemara says in Zvachim Pezayim Amen Aleph, that a service vessel sanctifies anything that goes inside of it. So who adds my, so the Kli Sharis itself, for example, like a cup of gold that's used in the Beis HaMikdash, loy kolshigan, isn't all the more so that it should be very sanctified itself, that it's going to be Me'ila Acha Me'ila, and therefore he adds on the Kli Sharis too, like we have in the Halacha of our Mishnah. Now the Mishnah concluded by saying, Rabbi Yaimi, he says, kol davar she'ein loy pidyon, anything that does not have redemption, so yesh b'chulu, so then there's going to have the Halacha, if it can't be redeemed, so it retains its sanctity, so then every time that someone uses it, there's going to be an act of Me'ila, thus, Me'il HaChamayil, which applies, like we said, by Behema, carbon, because when someone uses it, there's no, quote, deficiency, it's not being redeemed anyway. So the Kli Sharis is not being redeemed, so it's going to be Me'il HaChamayil. So the Gemara says, Hayne Tana Kama, like we already alluded to, that's the same thing Tana Kama said. So Amar Ravi says, you're right, but Ikka Benayu Eitzim. The difference between them is going to be someone who donates wood to the Beis HaMikdash. The Tana Kama, like we learned, the Braisa, which has wrote himself some Nachas and Perko Emar Aleya Sarin, says, someone says, I take upon myself to bring wood to the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Tanna Kamma, lo yifchis mishnei gezirin. He's not allowed to bring less than two blocks of wood, which the Gemara there brings, a braisa, that says, because the pasuk says over the carbon. The extra word carbon comes to say that a person could donate wood. And how much wood? Two blocks of wood. Because we see that wood itself is called a carbon, like the pasuk says, v'hagero le'sipalno al carbon ha'itzim, that the wood is called a carbon. So the extra word carbon, it tells us that one could donate, quote, a carbon of wood too. Now that's the Tanna Kamma. But Rebbe, I mean, he says that Eitzim carbon hain. He goes a little bit further. He goes that the wood itself is called a carbon, and therefore, Utu'un melech. Like every carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, when you put on the Mizbech, requires salt. This, quote, carbon of wood also requires salt. which Unan and moreover requires, which our Girsa is Tnufa. The Girsa is brought, as it says in Masechet Panachas, which seems to be the more appropriate Girsa, is Hagasha, requires being brought to the corner of the Mizbeach first, which, according to Rabbi, since he calls it a carbon, so essentially what it comes out, as we find, besides the fact that it requires salt and Hagasha, comes out that it, like any carbon, like we said regarding an animal, is something that doesn't have quota deficiency. It has a physical sanctity, and therefore it retains that sanctity even if it's used, and there's going to be mi'ilah ha'me'ilah. So if, let's say, someone sits on it, and then someone else sits on it, so there's going to be mi'ilah ha'me'ilah. But according to Rabbanan, they don't call it a carbon, so it's not like kachim mizbeach. Rather, it's like kachim b'tei gabayis. And therefore, it's something like old kachim b'tei gabayis that, okay, has a monetary value that the hekdesh treasury has for it, and therefore it could have deficiency. And therefore, it's like something that's only for monetary value, and therefore, once it's used, it already gets removed from hekdesh to chayil, and you're not going to have me'ilah, achar me'ilah. That says, the gift says, Rav is a machlekes between Rebbe and Tanakam and Amish. Now, additionally, the Gemara follows through and says, Amar Rav, ladivi Rebbe, that he calls it a carbon. Additionally, Eitzim, Tunin, Eitzim, those woods that he's donating as quota carbon, requires its own woods to burn on them like any other carbon. Every carbon needs to be burnt on top of firewood and the pyre on the Mizbeach. The wood as a carbon needs to be on wood itself. And so to Vamra Papa, he says, L'divir Rebbe, according to the opinion of Rebbe, Eitzim, Trichin, Kemitza. The wood needs to have Kemitza, which is he has to take a fistful, like we do by Mincha, he has to take from the wood a little bit in his fistful and burn that first. Because since we're equating it to the laws of a mincha, which require, and that's why we said it requires to be salted and to be brought to the corner of the Mizbeach, so it also requires kemitza. So that's one interpretation of the machlekes. Rav Papa, when he says a different interpretation, what's the machlekes Rebbe in the Tanakam and HaMishnah? It says, kachim Mizbeach temimin, regarding those things that are sanctified for the altar that are unblemished, like a carbon, v'nasu balamumin, and then became blemished, v'avar v'shachatin, and then someone violated, which he didn't redeem it, he went and he slaughtered it. That's Ikebenayu, that's the difference between Rebbe and Tanakama. But Tanya, and this is exactly as we learned in the Braisa, that this is their machlekes. Kachim Mizbeach Temimin, regarding unblemished carbon that's being brought from the Mizbeach. But then Menasu Balimum, and then became blemished. Va'avar u'shechatan, and then someone went and violated and he slaughtered it before it wasn't redeemed, meaning when it was still unredeemed. Rebbe I'm a Yikfuru. So Rebbe says what you do is you have to bury it. Why? Because he holds everything, kachim mizbeach, kachim b'tei gabayis, as explained elsewhere in Shas, were included in the halacha of hamad v'arach, which is if someone wants to redeem something from hekdesh, has to stand and be evaluated. And that would include even kachim mizbeach. Now that it's dead, he already slaughtered it, and it was still hekdesh, he never redeemed it, even though it was blemished, it doesn't apply to have hamad v'arach, because it's dead, it can't stand. So therefore you can't redeem it, so you have to bury it. And since you can't redeem it, it's supposed to be redeemed, but you can't redeem it because it can't stand. So therefore, yes, there's going to be me'ilah ha-me'ilah if someone's going to benefit after it's slaughtered because it's not being removed from its sanctity. It's not oymid le'damim, it's not oymid le'pidyon. Whereas v'chachamam yipadu, the sages say that no, you can redeem it because they do not require hamad v'aracha on the kachi mizbeach. So it doesn't require hamad v'aracha. So even if it's dead, it doesn't make a difference. So since it has the monetary sanctity, because like we said, you could redeem it, so therefore, once it's utilized, it gets removed, it becomes deficient, it gets removed from hektish to chayil, and therefore there's not going to be me'ilah, ha'me'ilah. That, according to our papa, is a machlekes in the halacha of the Mishnah. Yeah, they both hold this idea, and that if no pagam, there's me'ilah, ha'me'ilah, but specifically regarding this case, there they have the machlekes regarding kachim mizbeach, it requires a madav aracha, and therefore once it's slaughtered and it's dead, question is now, does it stand to be redeemed or not? That's the machlekes, and therefore if it stands to be redeemed or not, that would also be the halacha of, so do we say if it stands to be redeemed, so it stands to be deficient, and therefore it's going to be removed, and therefore not be liable for hektish, for me'ilah anymore? Whereas Rebbe holds that, no, it's the yesh me'ilah ha'me'ilah in this, because it doesn't stand to be redeemed right now, because it's dead, it can't have a madav aracha, which requires, and therefore it's going to have me'ilah ha'me'ilah.